today's tip, what is the purpose of creation and what is its relationship to ubudiyya, our servitude, our obedience, and our worship to Allah. So welcome back, dear friends. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about what is the purpose of creation and what is its relationship with our ubudiyya, our servitude, our obedience, and our worship to the Almighty Allah. So of course, you know, when we go through the Holy Quran, we will find that the Almighty Allah says that I did not create the jinn and the human beings except that they may worship me, the Almighty Allah. So right here, we know that this is the purpose behind creation. The purpose behind the creation of all beings, whether they are human beings or whether they are jinn or even plant life or the other forms of life on this earth, is the worship of the Almighty Allah. And the mission, fundamental mission of all of the prophets and the fundamental mission of all of the imams, of course, is to guide humanity towards the worship of the Almighty Allah. So this is what the purpose is of the creation of human beings and of jinn and of all beings. Now, what is ubudiyya? Of course, we have spoken over many programs that ubudiyya is innately the worship and the servitude and the obedience to the Almighty Allah. And so what we're trying to say, I guess, is that the ultimate purpose, the fundamental purpose, the actual purpose of human beings, of the jinn and the human beings, is the worship and the ubudiyya to the Almighty Allah. So ubudiyya is our fundamental purpose and our creation. Now, of course, that does not mean that all we do is from morning until night worship the Almighty Allah, even though I humbly believe that that is possible, because if everything we do is for the sake of Allah, if everything we do is out of obedience to the Almighty Allah, if everything we do is done in order to gain the satisfaction and the pleasure of the Almighty Allah, then that means that we are worshiping the Almighty Allah and we are in this state of ubudiyya from morning until night. So it is possible to do the worship and the ubudiyya of the Almighty Allah all day and all night long. But what I was trying to say is that this does not mean that we don't go to work, that we don't study, that we don't go to school or college or university, or we don't go and earn an income for our family, because, you know, sometimes that is something that some people might think. They might think that the only purpose is to be in this constant state of worship, you know, being in the masjid 24 hours a day, or being on the prayer mat 24 hours a day, or, you know, but this is not what it means to worship the Almighty Allah. Going to work, earning a livelihood, making ends meet for our families, helping the poor, these are all forms of ubudiyya and the worship of the Almighty Allah. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Dr. Yasser Qadhi.
Firstly, we need to understand that the Muslim perspective of evolution is very different than the Christian perspective. And one of the biggest misunderstandings that happen when Muslims say we don't believe in evolution is that agnostics, atheists, Christians assume that our perspective is exactly the same as theirs. Now, I'm not generalizing, but there are predominantly those Christians who deny evolution, deny that there was such thing as dinosaurs. They say that we were here for only 6,000 years. They believe in a very different version of events than modern science actually proved. Modern science can prove that there there were dinosaurs. Modern science can prove that humans have been around for at least 20, 30,000 years. Homo sapiens, our species, we have documented evidence through carbon-14 dating, through pictures on walls, through cave paintings in France. 30,000 years ago, the Aborigines have a history of at least 25,000 years. So when we as Muslims are presented with these facts, we don't understand that when we say evolution is false, it's assumed that our stance is the same as that of Christians. You see, our Sharia, our Quran did not come with any timeline. We don't have to restrict ourselves to 6,000 years. We can say that human beings have been around for 20, 30, 40,000 years. It doesn't contradict anything in our tradition. We don't have any problems affirming other life entities and forms. There's nothing un-Islamic about believing in dinosaurs. In fact, when science tells us there were dinosaurs, well then we believe there were dinosaurs. Our Sharia, Allah clearly says, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah has created that which you do not know. Our Sharia, because many verses in the Quran that there are creations. I'm getting a little bit fishy here, but there, I would even argue that the Quran argues for life forms outside of our life forms, right? Yeah. You know, وَبَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّ وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِ مِنْ دَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ Allah has scattered creatures across the creations. This is what Allah has said. And I would even argue the Quran actually has references that there are other life species and forms beyond even our own. So what we're denying is simply that the Adamic story is a metaphor. We don't believe that. We believe that God created Adam and Eve, and from the two of them, our species basically came. It could be that minor variations occur within a species. So they've documented, let's say, on the Galapagos Islands, a certain lizard becomes different after 5-10 generations. We have no problems affirming that. They've documented fruit flies in 20-30 generations of fruit flies. They might develop certain chromosomes or modify their DNA. For us, this is only more power to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has created inside of this creature the mechanism to adapt. However, modern science cannot, it has not, and it cannot prove that all life forms evolve from the very same species. And I watched an interview with Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is a self-professed prophet of atheism. He says he's the prophet of no God. That's what he says. And he preaches, he's the most militant atheist, I would say, alive today. And Richard Dawkins was interviewed by BBC. And basically, the interviewer said, even in your version of evolution, there are big gaps that are unanswered. Therefore, you have to have a leap of faith. Just like people of religion have big gaps and they have leaps of faith. What's so different? I mean, you don't know everything. They don't know everything. You've explained it in one mechanism. They've explained it in another. When he was presented with that, he was like, well, I suppose you could look at it that way. But my faith in science is more than my faith in a God. Right? In the end of the day, even Richard Dawkins has to acknowledge that he cannot connect the dots. You know that there was a certain species of Neanderthals 100,000 years ago. We don't have a problem affirming that. You know that dinosaurs existed. We don't have a problem affirming that. You know that X, Y, Z, you have all of these dots. The question is, how do you connect the dots, right? Richard Dawkins has his version of events, and that version is basically a godless version. We have our version of events. In the end of the day, to be very simplistic, it does boil down to a little bit of faith. Richard Dawkins has more faith in, I would say, nothing. We have faith in what we call God and the traditions.
يا رسول الله يا حبيب الله يا خليل الله محمد
Welcome back, dear friends. So we are talking about the ultimate purpose of creation and how, of course, it is related to our ubudiyya, our service, our worship, and our obedience to the Almighty Allah. So we said that the purpose of creation was ubudiyya. The purpose of creation was the worship and the servitude and the obedience to the Almighty Allah. We talked a little bit about, of course, that this purpose is therefore ubudiyya. That is the purpose of the creation of everything, is this ubudiyya. But we also kind of started to talk a little bit about how we shouldn't be fooled into thinking that this ubudiyya, or this servitude, this worship that we are to engage in, that this is something, you know, where we are now supposed to be in a mosque, in a masjid 24 hours a day, or that we're supposed to be on the prayer mat 24 hours a day, Or, you know, for example, that we need to go into the mountains and be completely secluded in a cave in order to be able to only worship the Almighty Allah, because that is our purpose of creation. The Almighty Allah has given us, you know, five specific times in which we have to come and do this ubudiyah, this formal worship of the Almighty Allah five times a day. But other than that, on the prayer mat or in the masjid, it is recommended. And more so than that, making ends meet, earning a livelihood for our families, for our friends, helping the needy, for example, making our societies better, studying in the school or the high school or the college or the university in order to be able to get a better job and therefore have knowledge that can help the imam for our time, that can help Islam, or to be able to have good jobs where we can help Islam, where we can help the imam of our time, being kind, being charitable, having a smile on our face, having good manners, good ethics, good morals, trying to improve our life, the life around us, our society. All of these things are ubudiyah. And in that manner, we realize that we can be in the worship of the Almighty Allah 24 hours a day if we're doing everything in order to gain the satisfaction and the pleasure of the Almighty Allah. This is ubudiyah. This is ubudiyah on foresight.
Every creature in this universe has its own specific goal, purpose, benefit, and result. No sense of aimlessness, purposelessness, futileness, and wastefulness is seen in any being. It is not possible for mindless and unconscious causes to realize these goals and purposes on their own and to create things based on wisdom. In that case, this situation proves that an existent entity is behind the curtain and that it is he who invents things with wisdom. Volumes of books can be written on the proof of wisdom, because every created being's body bears testimony to the existence of this reason and or purpose. From this station, we will only look at a mosquito. Actually, a special book can be written on the profundity of a mosquito's body, and in fact, it has already been written. Even if it is only one fragment of the proof or reason, we will only mention one or two characteristics of the mosquito for contemplation. The mosquito has been equipped with an exceptionally sensitive sense of temperature. It can even sense a 1/1000th change in degree of temperature. Since its perception is not dependent on light, the mosquito can even find a blood vessel in a dark room. Once it finds a blood vessel, it chooses a point by means of its proboscis. The mosquito does not pierce the skin with pressure, as is often assumed, but with its top and bottom jaw, which hold the teeth. Like a saw, it cuts the skin through moving backward and forward, and inserts its stinger into the blood vessel from the open tear. Its stinger, which resembles an injection syringe, is protected by a casing. During blood absorption, the sheathing is shed from the stinger. A big problem here is the clotting of blood. Nevertheless, by virtue of another reason, the human body has been created with the ability to form blood clots.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Foresight. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Allah, la ilaha siwa, la tukhalituhu dhunun wa أحتمي بحماية.